All right, so I guess in Parshas Vayishlach, there's a lot of stories that one can do. At the beginning of the Parsha, Yaakov and Esav, you have the kidnapping of Dinah, you have the death of Rachel. Those are generally the stories that you focus on. There is a small paragraph kind of in the middle that has this interaction between God and Yaakov. And that's actually, it seems to be a small story that we can easily miss. In fact, this past week, I took a look at Rabbi Kanatapsky's Sefer, and I was shocked that we had actually never done the piece on Vayishlach, which was on the same story. But I didn't really understand Rabbi Kanatapsky's article even after reading it a second time, so I'm probably never going to do that one. But ironically, I found a beautiful thought yesterday by Rabbi Ezra Bick, which basically is on the same topic. We're going to ask at least 9 questions, but I think there's only there's really one answer that answers all of them, and that kind of tries to help us make sense of this this story. So we start off from the beginning of Perek Lamed Hei. Vayomer Elokim LeYaakov. God says to Yaakov, "Kum alei beit el v'shev sham aseh sham mizbeach lakel ani rei lecha b'varchocha b'mnei Esav achicha." So God says, "Go up to Beit El, and I want you to stay there and make a mizbeach to God that appeared to you when you ran away from Esav, your brother." So you could ask, it's not one of our questions, but why does it say "mipnei Esav achicha"? It doesn't seem to be necessary. We know he ran away from Esav, so we don't even need that in the first place. But if you're going to say Esav, why does it have to say Esav Achicha? So the Iturei Torah quotes the Sefer Zer Zahav, where he says, "Kishetivrach min haYetzer Hara," when you run away from the Yetzer Hara, "shehu bechinat Esav," which is similar to Esav, "tizke legeula legiloi shechina kishenemar kisham negiloi lav elokim bevarcho." When you ran away, because you ran away from, doesn't really explain the achicha part, but when you ran away from Esav, ultimately that led you to the gilui shechina, the appearance of the shechina the first time when you met God, vayetze Yaakov mebeer shava, last week. Maybe achicha, that the part of the trick of the yetzer hara is that he gives you this sense of being your brother. Okay, so it's like a nice musar report. But the first question is, what does it mean, kumale beit el, go up to beit el? Why specifically beit el? Why is it going up? And if you take a look at the beginning of Pasuk Gimel, we're going to see that we have almost the same words again, v'nakum v'nale beit el, that we should go up and stand up and go up to beit el. So why do we have the same phrase mentioned 2 times? So Rashi says, "Kum alei." What does it mean to get up? Because Yaakov had delayed. He should have already gone to Beit El. Why did he stop in Sukkot? Why did he stop in Shechem? So because he did all of that, he was punished. So God is saying, "Listen, you gotta get with the program and move on, or you're going to end up having more bad things happen." Okay, so that's our first question. Pasuk bet. Vayomer Yaakov el beitov v'chol asher imo, hasirut elohei nechar shabbatochem itaru v'achlifu simuteichem. So Yaakov says to his entire family, and anybody that's with him, I guess his servants, get rid of the foreign gods that are within you, purify yourselves and change your clothing. So that's anyway like a shocking pasuk. We're talking about the Jewish people. They seem to be pretty like good, good people. Okay, they did kill a city, so not so good, but that was in self-defense. But why do they have idols? Right? I don't know. It seems to be a pretty big question. Okay, fine. And so you have idols, so you have to get rid of them and then change your clothing. What exactly is meant by that? And also, why now? Now, again, you could say that this is immediately after Shechem, and because it's immediately after Shechem, they have no choice. This is the first opportunity. that they have to get rid of it. You could also say that because God had appeared to Yaakov and said to Beit El, that was like, wait a second, we're going to Beit El, we have to really get rid of the idols. Okay, Pasuk Gimel. So he said, this is after he tells them to get rid of their idols and purify themselves. So Yaakov then continues, V'nakumu v'nale Beit El, v'esesham mizbeach le'el oneuti biyom tzareti. And we're going to make a mizbeach to God who answered me in the day of my suffering. And he was with me along the way. Another question is, why does he have to build a mizbeach, right? Go to Beit El, but why is he building a mizbeach there? And it's clear he's building a mizbeach both from Pasuk Aleph and from Pasuk Gimel. Okay, any other
questions? Well, Aleph is Hashem telling him what to do, and Gimel, he's telling his family what we're going to do.
So you're saying that's why it is mentioned twice.
Yeah, that's why he's using the same language, that's why he's being repetitive.
Okay, so then the question could simply be, why does it say kum ale, get up and go?
Because that's what God said to him.
Kum ale. Yeah, but I'm saying, but why does God say that? It's a strange, language. Rabbi Kenneth Tapsky, we're not going to get there, but I think he starts from Pasuk Tet Vav, which says like Vayal Yaakov, like that Yaakov goes up. And he also wonders,
it's a spiritual go up. If it's, you have to get rid of your idols, and you have to change your clothes, and you have to go to mikvah, you're raising yourself up.
Okay, fine. So let's...
Why they make a mizbeach? I mean, not to be flippant, but it seems like they make a mizbeach every time they turn around. I mean, in the last few parashas, all the avos.
When else? Is there another time that Yaakov makes a mizbeach?
Yaakov makes his bech specifically. Oh, didn't he just in the last parasha when they?
I don't think so. I think Yaakov makes a matseva. That's his thing. He makes a matseva at the beginning, and he makes a matseva at the end.
Yeah, with Lavan. You know, I was thinking about with Lavan, but it wasn't his bech.
Yeah, I don't.
Okay, maybe not.
I think.
Lavan made a lot of mizbeachs.
Right, Yitzhak goes on a mizbeach. Right, I'm not sure if Yitzhak even makes one. I'm not sure. I would have to think back.
After that experience, he was done with mizbeach.
Yeah,
he didn't need to.
Yeah, he's like, we don't play with fire. Right, okay. Any other questions besides my questions? Okay. Pasuk Dalet. Vayitnu el Yaakov v'kol Elohei Nechar asher b'yadam. So they give Yaakov all of their foreign gods, v'tanizamim asher bazneim, and their nose rings, v'itmon otam Yaakov tachad ha'ila asher im Shechem. And Yaakov buries them underneath a tree in Shechem. Now, this is like a pretty big question. If Yaakov's family gave him idols, what should he have done with them?
Burn them.
Right, burn or destroy. Why does he bury them? It seems, I think there actually is a chazal that says that these idols were ultimately found, not shockingly, in Shechem. And Shechem is a place of a lot of disunity and bad things for the Jewish people. And it could be that they use these idols all the way in the times of Malachim when they unearth them. So it just seems like if they find idols, like why not destroy them? So I think it's the Kliyakar, the Or Chaim, one of them says that if a non-Jew has an idol and then he on his own decides to get rid of its status as an idol, so he says, all right, I don't know, this piece of gold is an idol, and they say, actually, this piece of gold is not an idol anymore. When he takes it down from idol to not idol, so it loses its status. So Yaakov's family was kind of being machmir, and they were taking away, they were gods, but they weren't really gods. They had been gods that had been undesignated.
Why would they go to summon?
Yeah, that's like also, what's the deal with them? I mean, I guess the Nizamim probably were Nizamim that they had taken from the people of Shechem. I mean, again, I'm not sure, like, why is that a bad thing? Meaning, like, were there other things that they had taken in war? Like, is it that it was something that had come in contact with the dead? Would a bracelet have been different? Would a ring have been different if you took that?
It could have had some sort of other symbolism back then, who knows?
Okay, could be. It's a good question. Pasuk Hey. So they travel, and Yaakov's fear that he had said to his sons that, oh my gosh, you're going to get me killed, this is going to be so terrible. In the end, it's an unwanted, it's not a real fear. Why? Because they travel, and what happens? There's the fear of God upon them in all the cities that they travel through. And nobody chases after the Bnei Yaakov. Okay? Pasuk Vav. Vayavo Yaakov Luza Asher Be'eretz Kinan. He beit el hu v'chol am asher imo. So this pasuk has lots and lots of questions. I have at least three questions on this pasuk. Yaakov comes to Luz, which is in Eretz Kinan, which is Beit El. He and the entire nation that is with him. Okay, fire away. What are your questions? Okay, excellent. So question number one is, where is he supposed to go? He's supposed to go to Beit El. So he's supposed to go to Beit El. Yes, we're told he goes to Luz, which is Beit El. But why do I need to know that? Why can't it just say that he got to Beit El? Wouldn't that have been good? And by the way, we actually know already that Beit El is Luz, right? Why? Because we're told that, I think, at the beginning of Vayetze. So if we're already told that, why do we need that again? The Torah doesn't need to waste the time to tell us, oh, he goes to Luz, which it happens to be Beit El. Okay, good. That's one question.
And Pasuk Beis, it's Beiso, Beis Kol Asher Imo, and here it's V'chol Ha'am Asher Imo.
Okay.
Beiso.
Yeah.
Altogether, why is it saying all together? I mean, you know that Beiso, they're going together. It's not like he's, I mean, there's no indication that he would have broken off from the rest of them
and
weren't with him.
Yeah, so I mean, it's two separate questions. Shmuel's question is, why do you need it at all? But Surly's question is, why the shift to Cholam? Okay, both good questions. Any other questions?
The order's a little off.
Why?
And he came to this place that's in this place, which really is named this place, him and all the people that are with him.
You're saying it could have been Vayavo Yaakov v'Cholam Asher Imo Luza Asher Be'eretz Kanan. Okay. Probably it's to tell us that Yaakov is the primary person in the Pasuk, and the other people are kind of just, you know, coming along for the ride. Any?
It's the Canaan part.
Yeah.
Was he there?
The Canaan, why is the Canaan in the middle?
Yeah.
Okay, so.
You're going to identify Luz, just identify.
I mean, I guess there's two Luzes, but there's only one Luz that's also based Kel.
Right.
Right, so I think the bigger question is, like, why all of a sudden now does it say that he came into Eretz Canaan? Shechem is Eretz Canaan. He's in Beit El. Beit El is south of Shechem by a bit. Like, why do I need to know that? Just seems to be unnecessary information. There are places in the parasha that you could have said Vayavo or Vayavo Yaakov Eretz Canaan. He got to Eretz Canaan, which would be significant. He was not in Eretz Canaan. Now he's gotten there. But why does it say that all of a sudden?
Well,
you can
still go back and say that there are two Luzes. He got to Luz, but he got to the Luz that's in Eretz Canaan, not the Luz that's in Jordan or wherever.
Yeah, but he's in the Luz that's in Eretz Canaan. That's by Beit El. That's like it's the heart of Eretz Canaan.
Yeah.
So it seems strange.
No, I agree. I asked that question. I agree.
Right. So, yeah. Okay. So pasuk zayin va'yivin sham is be'ach va'yikra la'makom el Beit El ki sham niglu elav alukim bevarchu mipnei achiv. So he builds a mizbeach there. He calls the place El Beit El because that's where God had revealed him when he had run away from his brother. Okay, so he goes full circle, meaning now he finally he's back to the place that it all started. It all started when he ran away from Esav at the beginning of Ayetze, and now here it is. A couple of prakim later in Lamed Hey, he's returned to that place. Pasuk Chet. Vatama. Was that a someone has a question? Or
sorry, clearing my throat.
Oh, it's all good. All right. Vatama devora mineka rifka vatikaver metachad levet el tachad alone veikrashmo alone bachut. Okay. Devora. The mineket rifka dies, and she is buried in Beit El underneath a tree. Interestingly, pretty much the same thing, right? Where do they bury the stuff? Tachat ha'ilah, and this is Tachat ha'alon, and they name the place Alon Bachut. Alon Bachut. Right? Anybody? Alon Shvut, not connected, but it's called Alon Shvut. Why? Because they went back to the Alon. There's that huge tree. I don't know if you've been to Alon Shvut, but there's the tree in the Gush, right? That's like being held together by plaster and wooden beams, much more than by the earth at this point in time. But that
they climbed up and everyone was horrified.
They look at it from a distance. All right, it's true. We were there together. They look at it from a distance and they say, that's the one that we're going back to. So Alon Bachut, this is where they cry. Okay, so what's the deal with this pasuk? Devorah dies. Who cares? She's buried there. What difference does it make? How many people die? We don't know where they're buried. Where's Rivka buried? We know where she's buried. When does Rivka die? We don't know. When does Leah die? We don't know. When does Bilhah and Zilpah die? We don't know. So there's plenty of other people that die that are significant. We have no idea when and where they die and are buried. And then Devorah, who's a bit character at best, so she dies and she gets a whole pasuk about they cry and where she's buried and when she dies, like who cares?
And what is mitachat lebeta? What does it mean mitachat?
Below the mountain, down the mountain.
Yeah, I guess that's probably like a unique Jewish experience. They tend to go to the top of the mountain for everything. Okay, so what's going on here? So let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi's going to give us an answer, which is probably the answer that we're more familiar with. V'tama Devorah, Mayin and Devorah b'Beit Yaakov. Like, what Rash wants to know, like, what does this have to do with anything? Ella, Lefisha Amra Rivka LeYaakov, V'shalachti L'kachticha Misham. Remember, when Yaakov is leaving, this is the end of Toldot. Yaakov is leaving, what happens? Rivka says that, what will I do? I will send for you and bring you back from there. Shilcha Devorah Etzula Padan Aram, L'tzei Misham. So she sends Devorah from Padan Aram to bring him back, she dies along the way. But by the way, who is Devorah? Anybody know who Devorah is? I mean, assuming that there's not another Devorah in Bereshit, or I shouldn't say assuming there's not. Assuming that this is not a separate character from the other one in Devorah in Bereshit. So Yitzhak needs a wife. Eliezer is sent to Haran. He goes and meets Rivka. Rivka passes the test with flying colors. She gives him water. She gives the camels water. He eats. Long, long speech. At the very end, it tells us that what? That Rivka...
That's me, Nikta.
Right. Rivka leaves with right? I think it gives her name there, no?
I don't think so. But that's me, Nikta, just says.
Oh, yeah? So then Chazal is telling us that that's the Meneket? So funny. I always thought it... I guess like
Elena, I don't know, it's one part. It's one of the several part. Well, three or four parshas Elaine, and
I guess it's funny. It's like sometimes you know the answer so well, you just assume that that's the case. That's impressive. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you're right. It only says Meinikta. So what is Rat? Let's see what happens. Let's take a look at Rashi. Pasuk Nun Tet. That's not, Rashi doesn't even say that there. Okay, I guess whatever. That's just Chazal tell us that. Okay, fine. Shachot Vorei Etzol Panan. Let's see. Shachot Meitav B'Derach. Medev Rosh Darshan L'Matiyah. So that's what Rav Moshe Darshan says. It's the Medrash. Mitachal Beit El. Ha'ir Yosheva Bahar V'Nikbara Baragli Ahar. The city is up in the mountain and she is buried at the bottom. Tachar alon b'shipule meishra at the flat place shayam mishur milmala b'shipua har v'kvur milmata, that there was a flat area on the top of the mountain, the burial was on the bottom. Mishur shel Beit El lo hayu korin lo alon, the flat area of Beit El was called alon. V'gada nitbaser sham be'evel sheni, so alon is from the word evel, okay. That he found out that his mother had died. So why does he find out that his mother died? He finds that his mother died because Rivka did not want her the day of her death to be publicized. She Kalu Abrio Kares Shiatsa Mimenu Esav, that she did not want the womb that had borne Esav to be publicized. Okay, so that's really the question. That's Rashi's answer. Rashi says that this Devorah is significant to the story because she's part of bringing Yaakov back home. And here, oh, I guess that's where it says, Vatama Devorah Mingneket Rivka. It calls her here the Mingneket Rivka. And back in Toldot, it calls her just the Mingneket. So that's how we make the connection that it's the same person. Okay, fine. So that's another question. Why do we care about her death? Pasuk tet vayera lokim Yaakov od bevo'o mipadan Aram vayivarech oto. God comes to Yaakov, appears to him again, and blesses him. Vayomer lokim shimcha Yaakov lo yikare shimcha od Yaakov kim Yisrael yesh shemecha. So your name is Yaakov. Duh, he does know that. But you won't be called Yaakov anymore. Kim Yisrael, you'll be called Yisrael. Vayikrat shemo Yisrael, and he calls his name Yisrael. That pasuk all together is just completely unnecessary. There's so much of it that we don't need, right? God could have just said, you know, your new name is going to be Yisrael, and that would be it. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayomer lo Elokim, ani kel shakai prei revei goy kahal goyim yemi mekom lachim mechaletzecha yetzeyu. So God says to, Hashem says to him, I am God, prei revei. So be fruitful and multiply. Goya kal goyim yimeka. So there is a nation, and nations that will come from you, and kings will come from you. So I didn't actually look this up, but supposedly we have almost the exact same thing in Perek Chaf Chet, Pasuk Gimel and Dalid. I think that's still the end of Toldo. Let's take a look. Chaf Chet. Gimel, Dalid.
The language is very different than that of his father and his grandfather. And
okay.
Those two are much more similar.
But Yitzhak gave Yaakov a bracha, and the bracha was this: Kel Shakai, Yivarech Otchav, Yafrechav, Yarbecha, Vahayita Lekahal Amim. Okay, so it's not exactly the same bracha, but it's a similar bracha. What is the nature of this bracha? What's he being told? Okay, so those are all the questions. So basically, the questions are a lot of focus on why is there a lot of extra stuff here, which is basically why this is skipped over. There's not really that much by way of chiddush here. He's told to go to Beit El. Beit El is this famous place that he started from, yet God seems to continuously stress the fact that he's going back to this Beit El that he started from. And why the change of language? Why is it Kala'ama Sherimo? Why is it stressing that he's in Eretz Canaan? Why do we need to know that it's Luz? What's the deal with all of these idols? Why is he going up? Why is he getting a bracha that seemingly he already got before? So before we try to answer the questions, let's just take a look at Rashi. Rashi is going to give us a little bit of an answer as to Pasuk Yud Aleph, what exactly that means. So he says, Ani kel shakai, shani kedai levarech. What is the word shakai, shin dalet yod? So we usually, you know, say that it's from the word die, that it's the one that can say die, God that can say enough, that's what it is. But he says, shani kedai levarech, that I am able to give a bracha. A lot of people can give a bracha, but some people are more worthy of giving brachos. Of course, the Gemara says that altia berchas hedyo kala beinecha, that even if you get a bracha from the lowliest of people, you should not take it lightly, because it always has significance. But God is saying that my name, shin dalet yod, represents the fact that I have the capacity to bless, not like others. Prei revei, al shem shadayin lo nolad ben yamin. What does it mean that he's told to be fruitful and multiply? He's already got quite a family here. So the answer is because what? He still did not fulfill all of his children. He had one more left, ben yamin. Va'afal pishak farnitabra. But the truth is, she was already pregnant. She was going to give birth pretty soon. Goy. So when it says goy and goyim, goy is ben yamin, and goyim which is Ku Kahal Goyim, is Menashen Ephraim, Shatidin Latzeit Miyosef Emin Yana Shvatim. That's why Menashen Ephraim, who are considered to be part of the Shvatim, Umelachim, and kings. Again, the kings have to come from Binyamin. Binyamin's the only one that hasn't, you know, been born. Shaul Vishboshet Shayu Meshevet Binyamin Shaydain Lo No Lad. Okay, fine. Okay, terrific. Okay, so that's how Rashi understands this pasuk. It's talking about the fact that Yaakov still is going to have more children. Okay, so why does he have to build a mizbeach? Let's take a look at the Meshech Chachma. The Meshech Chachma says, "Lo matzanu mishum adam sheitzavei Hashem itbarach lasot mizbeach levad Yaakov." No one else is commanded to build a mizbeach. It's true. Avram does build a mizbeach, but is he told to build a mizbeach? I don't think so. He builds a mizbeach, vayikra sham b'shem Hashem. There he calls in the name of God. So the Meshech Chachma. Is he told to build a mizbeach there, or is he told just to bring a karban?
Well, how do you bring a karban?
I'm saying,
I don't know what the thing of is a mizbeach, but I don't know.
But if, right, here, the
he doesn't tell him to build a mizbeach.
Right, he's meaning the
bring him up there.
Right, the mizbeach is more part, right, he's told to bring, is he told to bring a fire, or that also is his own? His own doing. I think that's also his own doing.
No.
Right.
No.
You hear
about the fire when Yitzchak asks him, where's the fire?
Right. So what's going on? He can't bring him his bath without all these requisite things. But he can't bring a carbon without the requisite things. But he doesn't necessarily need it. If he could find him his bath that's already built there, then he'd be good. So Yaakov is the only one. Vanira Mishum Damru, Sone Gezel Ba'ula. Yaakov was nervous that maybe he had stolen something from the loot of Shechem, and he didn't want to bring a korban to God. So God then says, God says, listen, you didn't steal anything. What's the proof? You're not allowed to bring anything stolen on a mizbeach. So build a mizbeach, and you'll see that everything that you have is yours. Okay, it's a nice idea. Not really sure if that is going to answer our questions. I'm not sure if that's enough of a need for Mizbeach. So what's going on here? What's the purpose of this story? So Rav Bick has a beautiful idea. The purpose, Yaakov Avinu's ultimate mission is to what? To build the Jewish people. How does he build the Jewish people? He's supposed to be the Bechir HaAvot. He's supposed to be the choice of the Avot. He's the third one. And with him, Avram creates this, Yitzhak that. With Yaakov's arrival, the people make the shift from just being a family, they'll ultimately become Am Yisrael. Right? We still go by the name Am Yisrael all these years later. So Yaakov was supposed to be was working on being an Av, and by being an Av, he was going to create Am Yisrael. The thing is that being away for the last 20 plus years, his goal as being an Av was put on pause. But he's now back, and he's reunited with his mission. So what does God say to him? Kumale Beitel, you're now back in Israel. I want you to go up. What does going up mean? David, I think you're the one that said it. Raise and uplift yourself. What exactly does it mean, raise or uplift yourself? It's not physically. Yeah, Beitel clearly is on a mountain if it's telling us that she was buried mitachat lahar. And maybe he goes up to the top of the mountain, and that's where he brings his mizbeach, and that's where he does all his things. Right, typically back then you brought your mizbeach on the top of the mountain, but it's not just physical; it is spiritually uplifting yourself. You're coming back to once again start your mission. Where is your mission going to be, and how is it accomplished? You're going to Beit El. Beit El obviously is a very appropriate place if you're going to create this mission of being the Av and starting the Jewish people. You're going to do it here, but why does it tell us that it's called Luz first? It's telling us, it's reflecting the shift that he's no longer in chul, in chutz laretz, and it's no longer chol, it's no longer mundane. The name change signifies that you're taking this place in Eretz Yisrael and you're uplifting it. And perhaps that's why it's telling us he's in Eretz Canaan. Yes, until now he's been in Eretz Canaan, but his mission is to be in Eretz Canaan and to be a nation. And that is only accomplished when he gets to Beit El and he once again goes back on the mission that he had started. His family needs a cleanup too. Right? They themselves, if there is any like little bit, even if it's not full out idolatry, but even a little bit of idolatry, they need to clean themselves up before this mission happens. And so I think that really answers most of our questions. Oh, Am. Why is it Am? Hu v'chol Am asher imo? Because when he gets to Beit El, it's his family. Vayomer Yaakov el Beito v'chol asher imo. But after he gets to Beit El, and after he reaccepts this mission, it's no longer Beit Yaakov, but it is Am Yisrael. It's the nation of Israel. And so that is pretty much all the questions we had. The nature of the brachas, God is giving him this mission. You're going to be what? You're going to be not just a family anymore. You're going to be a nation, a great nation with kings and with all kinds of things like that. They're going to create all the necessary steps to bring this mission to the world. The one question that we didn't answer, though, is what do we do with Pasuk Chet? What do we do with Devorah? Now, Rashi's answer is beautiful. And if you accept Rashi's answer, then Devorah is part of the family. And sadly, she is lost at this point in time. But you could really ask the question, like, why do I need that in the middle of this, you know, seemingly now inspirational group of Psukim that's talking about really the creation of Am Yisrael? Why kind of like throw in Pasuk Chet, which ruins the flow of it? So Rabbi Bick says that what does Devorah represent? If she is Devorah Mineket Rivka that started in Aram, she actually represents the last shred of Aram. He sheds that too. God says, you got to get rid of the idols. You got to get rid of any piece that taints who you are. And Devorah is that last bit, that last piece that connects you to Aram. Get rid of her, and then you can completely uplift yourself. Says Rabbi Bick, that is actually what this little piece is trying to tell us. It is trying to instruct us. This is what Yaakov had to do. This was where Yaakov goes to become a nation. And so after that, kind of the story, you know, his wife dies, and that's pretty sad. But after that, Yaakov transitions into Eretz Yisrael. And that, interestingly, I think it does actually segue nicely into, you know, we have like Esau's family, which is like the very end of Vayishlach. It's a lot of psukim, but it ends. Actually, it doesn't end, but Parashat Vayeshev starts next week. What? Vayeshev Yaakov? Yaakov bikesh Yaakov leishev b'shalva. Yaakov wanted to sit in peace. Why? Because he would say, I'm now Am Yisrael. It's not the family. And once I'm Am Yisrael, it could be that I deserve to just be a nation and live as a sovereign nation in my land. Not exactly there yet. That will take a lot longer. But the seeds of Am Yisrael and the seeds of the Melucha that will eventually establish itself is started here. Okay, have a wonderful Shabbos, everyone.